In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Okay, so we're celebrating a baptism this morning, and it is a joyful occasion, and congratulations to baby Wilson, who doesn't know what's about to happen to him, but will probably be shocked and appalled when it actually does happen. But especially congratulations to Robert and Evan for producing such a beautiful little baby. It's a privilege for me to be able to do this, and it's an honor, and it's an exciting occasion. So baptism, if you think about it, is kind of weird. Why would pouring water on a little baby make much a difference to that baby spiritually? I don't mind saying that it's quasi-magical, in my view. The truth is that we are all spiritual beings, but we're not just spiritual beings. We're not ghosts in machines, if you will. We're physical beings too, obviously. We have bodies, and we don't just have bodies, but we are embodied. We are our bodies in a certain sense. And contrary to what many people might think, that's not an accident in God's economy. It's not something that's lamentable, having a body, being embodied. It's not, in other words, a state of affairs that we're destined to be delivered from, as though when you die, you leave the body and you go to heaven, and that's the end of the story. I know a lot of people believe that, a lot of Christians believe that, but that's not what the Bible says, and it's not what the church has ever taught, that when you die, you go to leave your body, go to heaven, that's it. The truth is that God made the world, he made the physical world, including our bodies, and he said that it's very good. And it's this physical world, including our bodies, that he means to redeem by the blood of Jesus. We say that at the end of the creed every Sunday. We'll say it again in a few minutes here. Or actually, we just said it, kind of lost today. We just said that at the end of the Nicene Creed. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. The resurrection of the body, not the soul, not the spirit, not the mind, but the body. So our bodies matter. And even more broadly, corporeal reality matters. Matter matters, you might say. Water matters, bread and wine matter, and God brought about this state of affairs where these things, these corporeal realities, these articles of matter within his material world, matter. It's how God organized reality from the beginning. He made this world. He made it the way that it is, and it is material. And in the final consummation of all things, we won't be delivered from our bodily reality, but our bodies will somehow be restored. Glorified is how St. Paul tends to talk about this in his epistles. Our bodies are destined for glorification in Christ. When it's all said and done, we will be more, not less, of what we were on earth. So it shouldn't really come as a surprise that when we talk about salvation, we don't just talk about believing stuff, nor even just about trusting in God or something like that. We talk also, among other things, about pouring water on babies. And we talk about eating bread and drinking wine in particular ritual circumstances. And these two central aspects of the Christian life, baptism and Holy Communion, are in the engine room of salvation. They are very close to being close to the reality of what salvation is. They are obviously richly symbolic, baptism and Holy Communion. They are, for Christians, what circumcision and the Passover are for Jews, among other things. And gallons of ink, literally, have been spilt over the centuries, elaborating the rich and the deep symbolism of these two aspects of the life of the church. But that's not really necessary for our purposes today. It's good enough, I think, to take reality as it comes to us. And the truth is that these two things, baptism and Holy Communion, are key aspects of the eventual glorification for which we long. I mean, I hope you do long for this glorification. I certainly do. When I think of George Tucker, for example, who is the apple of my eye, who delights me, wiggling around on the floor and squirming things and trying to put his fingers into light sockets and all that sort of thing, always lingering in the back of my mind is the reality, the kind of melancholic reality, that he will, God willing, grow up. He will mature, and he will go through all the things that people who grow up and mature go through in life. sickness, heartache, you know, disappointments, all those kinds of things. He will, if things go well, he will know those things. And like all of us, he will eventually die, right? That's what I'm talking about when I talk about glorification and salvation. That is the state of affairs which God means to deliver us from by the blood of his Son, the dominion of those things over human life. That those things should have the final say over a human life is not the will of God. And that will of God, that those things should not be the final determinant of any human life, is what God manifested and declared in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of his Son, Jesus. And baptism and Holy Communion is how we participate in that divine will and that power of God. That's what salvation is about. It's about all that stuff not having the final word over us. The very word communion implies that this is how we stay near that divine power that delivers us from the dominion of sin and death. Baptism is how we draw near to it. Holy Communion is how we stay close to it, you might say. And there's really nothing more important in the life of any human being than these two things in the final analysis: baptism and Holy Communion. Getting baptized and remaining faithful to Holy Communion, returning faithfully to the altar. I'm not just saying that, by the way, because I'm a priest, but I am a priest because these things are true and I believe them. That's why I gave myself to this vocation to begin with. So that's what we're fixing to do for little Wilson Crider. I'll conclude with something C.S. Lewis said. In these rites, baptism and in Holy Communion, C.S. Lewis said, "The veil between the worlds is nowhere else so thin and permeable to divine operation. Here, in these two rites, a hand from the hidden country touches not only my soul, but my body. Here, the prig, the don, the modern man in me have no privilege over the savage or the child. Here is big medicine and strong magic." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.